Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chiefs Sports Network. Talking South Carolina high school sports every Friday morning and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. With weekly appearances from coaches, players, and media around the state. Let's go! First quarter. Happy Friday.
Six trophies, 12 teams, one unforgettable weekend. Welcome to the show, South Carolina. Championship week is here. Today and all day tomorrow, the best high school football teams in the state roll into Oliver C. Dawson Stadium in Orangeburg for the chance to become legends of the gridiron and to be remembered for years to come. Small towns are already emptying out. Bamberg, Lamar, Johnston, Belton, Honeypath, and Varnville are so empty that you could rob every home in town. And when the big boys hit the field, South Florence versus South Point, Northwestern versus Irmo, and that monster 5A clash between Dutch Fork and Somerville, it's going to be pure chaos. We've got the matchups, the storylines, the players you need to know, and yeah, maybe a few bold predictions that might get us chewed out by some coaches in the pregame. So buckle up, Palmetto State. The road to the crown runs straight through Orangeburg, and your official preview starts right now. Welcome to the show. We got Coach Fiddler coming off the bench to help us out. We got Ian Guerrerin from Prep Red Zone joining us. They do a great job at Prep Red Zone. In fact, I told him last night, if it wasn't for Prep Red Zone, I don't know how much I could do on this show. Those guys are awesome. And so, Coach Fiddler, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here. I just wish I could hear a little bit about Red Bank from your pre-show music there. Whoever that artist is, I need to talk to him about that. Hear about Wildcat Hollow, but not White Knoll.
Well, you know, it is my alma mater, so he threw that in there for me. All right, we're gonna go right to it, Shane. We're gonna go right to Ian Guerrerin, and we're gonna start talking some of these games. South Point and South Florence is just a monster matchup. And welcome, Ian.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Trying to stay dry today. I know that.
Yeah, well, as you can see behind me, good luck with that if you're going to be in Orangeburg, because it's already started. It's pretty gloomy over here.
Well, Ian and Coach, you know, the weather's absolutely going to play a factor this weekend. You know, keeping the ball safe, not turning it over, is going to be crucial for these teams to win the state championship. But if you don't mind, let's jump right into it. We know you got a busy day. South Point and South Florence, we've been looking at this matchup coming up for a long time now. I think everybody has kind of penciled them in, expecting these two teams to meet in Orangeburg. And I did catch your article on Prep Red Zone, and you had a really great interview with Bryson Ginn. He mentioned if we don't win from South Point, talking about, we would be the first senior class to graduate without winning a state championship. That's pretty insane.
I think it speaks to the pressure that there is playing in Football City USA, and specifically at South Point. I mean, these are kids that know if I'm going to go play football there, I'm expected to bring a trophy home. And it's, you know, it was something similar to what Bobby Collins had said to me back in June. You know, he talked in June about the amount of pressure that was on him, and that if he didn't win a state title, that the season was a failure. And, you know, he even made a crack. I'm not sure how serious he was about, you know, I might lose my job if we don't win a title, you know. And again, I'm not going to decipher, you know, the psychology of Bobby Collins, but, you know, when kids start saying stuff like that, that's when you really know it's serious.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ian, South Lawrence has had an incredible run. This is their fourth straight state championship game appearance. Of course, starting out with Lenoris back when he was there, and Jaden as well. Coach Marlowe has done a phenomenal job. Something that I noticed, it was the first time I had a chance to see them this year. Man, that defense they have, it's like stirring up a hornet's nest. You know, that front seven, they got one, and what I would call one true defensive lineman body, and then, you know, linebacker bodies all over the place, and they're fast, and they get after you. They confuse offensive lines. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you see this defense matching up against South Point's offensive front.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's going to be really fun to watch, you know, just in the trenches alone, because, you know, I think people are starting to wake up to how good South Florence's offensive line is, but we've known about South Point's, and, you know, we use the expression a lot, Mahler, and they've got five of them. And these are guys where, I mean, their guards are just as important and get just as much of the credit for everything that offense does as the tackles. And, you know, when you are talking about players with that skill level, but also that Mahler mentality, it doesn't take long before you start to beat down on opposing defenses. You know, this is what, that's the South Florence mentality. I mean, that's why, you know, in the lower state championship, they only threw the ball eight times, and I think three of those were dummy passes just to put them on film. So, you know, this is something that both teams are very well accustomed to. It's going to come down to personnel. Now, South Florence's defense, they move guys around. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Amari Reeves in the secondary. You know, he's been a part of five turnovers in the last two games. But they have pieces all over, and they move them around. They disguise a lot of their plans. But Terry Gordon, in a lot of ways, is kind of the starting point for all of it. You know, he's got the body type of what a lot of people would consider to be a Division II, you know, middle linebacker at a program like that. But how they use him is they slide him up the left side, and he comes in on blitzes. And so he's almost taken more of that edge defensive end look. And I think he's got, you know, 27, 28 tackles for loss. I mean, so he's getting a lot of production off the edge. And what he's doing is he's helping to disguise the fact, again, that they don't have a ton of size on that defensive line.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Terry Gordon, he's also, out of those TFLs, 15 of them are sacks. He absolutely gets after it. Willie Kennedy is also really active up there.
As you give a lot of credit to Cannon Jordan for creating a defensive scheme for all those body types to have a lot of success. If you don't know Cannon Jordan, old Conway head coach Chuck Jordan's son, he's the defensive coordinator at South Florence, and he's doing a phenomenal job there. And hopefully he gets a head job that he wants soon.
You read my mind, Shane. You know, I made that note. Also, his brother Sawyer coaches receivers at Ole Miss and is going to be following Lane Kiffin to LSU, apparently. So just a football family through and through for sure. Ian, how do you see this game, and with the weather playing a factor as well, how do you see this game shaping out today?
That's the first game Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow. And I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head, though. And, you know, if I'm breaking down this game, you know, and, you know, everything I know about both these teams, I think that South Point would have no problem getting into a ground and pound, protect the football type of game. But we haven't necessarily seen it from them as much as we have South Florence. I mean, last week at South Florence, you know, Bruins are playing a very, very good gray defense. It's very active in its own right. And it's got, you know, some pretty darn good high school football players on that side of the ball. And the temperatures you know, we knew that they weren't going to sling it all over, but South came out and just did what they wanted. And had they not tried to get cute a couple times, again, what I believe to be just, you know, Drew Marlowe wanting to put stuff on tape, they probably could have dumped 74 points on them. And, you know, to be able to do that in frigid temperatures when you, you know, have the bright lights on you, you know, it's important. You know, I have seen South Florence do that. I haven't seen South Point have to do that just because, you know, they've been coming out and getting whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, this game, it could go, I could toss a coin up in the air, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if either team win in this game. Let's talk about the 2A state championship, and we're going to have Coach Hannah and Coach Webb on in a few minutes. But Strom Thurmond versus Hampton County, tell us what you see in this matchup. What are the things that we need to be looking out for from both of these teams and how they match up against each other?
Yeah, I think it's all going to come down to the, you know, the first 8-9 minutes of the game, because when Hampton County has had a lot of success, you know, everybody in the state should know Jalen Singletary's name by now. But it's, if you haven't paid a lot of attention to him, or if you've just looked at his numbers, the thing that he has really ignited this offense with isn't the overall statistics. It's the big plays that are leading to some of those ridiculous numbers that he's put up. You know, he's got to have at least 7 or 8 touchdowns of 50 yards or more this year. And these are runs. These aren't little swing passes. This isn't, you know, trick plays that just happen to get him in space. You know, this is just runs up the middle. He breaks first contact. You know, he's getting a good push from the offensive line most of the time. So now if he's not getting touched until 7-8 yards downfield, he breaks 1 or 2 tackles and it's off to the races. You know, they send their stat pack at Hampton County and touchdowns are in blue. And the amount of 60s, 70s, and 80s that have been in blue on Jalen Singletary runs, that tells me that home run ball is demoralizing opponents too. So if he hits one of those in the first couple series for Hampton County, you know, that's also not something that Strom Thurmond has necessarily seen a ton of in recent weeks. Now, they did see it in non-region play, but they've been getting into these kind of grinded out close games where something big happens. Obviously, last week they stopped a 2-point conversion to hold on to that one. But I think how their defense, the Strom Thurmond defense, kind of does or doesn't keep Jalen Singletary in check in the first quarter, I think that's going to be the big storyline for the game.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, I've seen Strom Thurmond play a couple different times. I haven't had the privilege to watch Hampton County yet this year, but it sounds like, again, another game that's going to be decided by the trenches, like most of these games are. I mean, it's football, so without good play up front, you're not going to get this far, that's for sure. Coach, you got any questions for Ian before we hit to a quick break?
No, but, you know, it's a quick comment about, you know, South Florence and them having to play at noon tomorrow. I mean, what a big routine changer that is, right? Not only are you playing on a Saturday, but you're playing at noon. Think about what time you got to get the bus going. And, you know, 2 years ago, South Florence played in that noon game. So they do have experience with this, right? Coach Marlowe saw what worked and what didn't work last time they played this early on a Saturday. You know, this is new for South Point and Coach Collins. So how both those teams handle that situation will play a factor as well.
Yeah, and I believe this is actually going to be the first state title game for South Point since 2021, if I'm right, Ian. I think that was actually in your article.
That sounds right, because they beat Buford, I believe.
Yeah. And Ian, Buford, thanks so much for joining us, man. Y'all do such a good job over there at Prep Road Zone. Do you want to get a little bit of a plug in for you and your guys over there?
Oh, I'm never going to say no to plugging this website, man. We love it so much. We've had some awesome talks this week just about things that we're expanding in 2026. We're going to have, a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a staff shakeup because no one's going anywhere, but we got a little bit of a boost coming to the staff, and we're really excited about it. But, hey, the month of December is jam-packed. We got Weekend of Champions North South Shrine Bowl. We're releasing our Fab 50 team, which is the most exclusive all-state team that you're going to see in South Carolina. You know, we've got 2026 rankings coming out next Wednesday, and then we've got 2027 rankings coming out on New Year's Eve. So, you know, the football season's winding down. We don't, you know, anybody that's paid attention to us the last 5 years knows that we're 365. So we're going to keep it rolling, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Great. Thanks a lot, man. Well, Shane, that was awesome. Dude, they do such a good job over there. Their whole focus is 100% South Carolina kids. Yep. And we love the Big Spur. We love 24/7 Sports. They do a great job. But the rankings that come out are done mostly by national guys. And so if you wanted to really take a look into high school kids, high school football players in South Carolina, I don't think there's a better place you can go from a ranking standpoint than Ian and his guys over there at Prep Red Zone.
Yeah, and not only that, those national guys, they're doing it based on the types of offers those kids have, right? You know, Ian and his crew, they're really watching the players, watching the games, and they're able to decipher that. But like I always told my parents coaching, hey, those rankings are for entertainment only. You know, they still got to go out there and do it on the field and get the job done in the classroom.
Absolutely. And with that, we'll go to a quick break, and we'll get Coach Hannah from Hampton County before his big day tomorrow and his team before they play Strom Thurmond on Saturday at 4 o'clock. So hours are counting down.
It's football season. The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamaduro's Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamaduro's, we're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
This is Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Justin Hall and Steve Hall. Taking a deep dive into high school athletics in South Carolina every Friday morning. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Four Quarter Friday Show on the Chief Sports Network. And we have a legend. He's getting his mic ready quick. Jamie, welcome, man.
Man, I figured I'd come in and screw this whole thing up for everybody before y'all really get rolling with all these coaches and all that stuff. What's up, Shane?
What's up, man? Hey, I did not know I needed a Barn Dominium until about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
When I saw that ad. Those look awesome. Dude, a cool thing.
Best builder in the I was about to say the SEC, but in the Southeast. That's for sure. This guy's
Let's go right. SEC. Yep. I like that better.
Yeah.
For those who don't know at home, Jamie and I went to college together. We had a lot of fun.
We did. Yeah. Told Steve yesterday, I said, get Fiddler on the show. And if he didn't come in, I'll blackmail him. It's all good.
I canceled all the meetings today because of that.
I do. You know, everybody, I mean, Steve, you know Shane's background, right? I mean, he's a Penn State guy by heart, but he'll always be a Gamecock. He is a Gamecock. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. But he's a Penn State guy. So what are we doing? What's going on in Happy Valley?
Well, hopefully they seal the deal today with the person they should have been hiring from day one, Matt Campbell. That guy's a great football coach. He does more with less. That's who needs to be in the building. They need to stop all this going out there and doing this, that, and the other. If you can't get him, you got to go with the interim guy and just, you know, keep the players there, try to keep that ship rolling, because I think they have taught a lesson to every AD and, board of trustees in the country. Stop firing your coaches early. All you're doing is you're giving other schools time to put together extensions and raises in their NIL budget. And you're giving recruits time to look around and find other places. I thought they did a masterful job in their coaching search. They let go of Coach Stoops on Sunday, and they had their coach on Monday. They didn't lose any momentum. In fact, they probably gained momentum. Penn State's going to have to find a lot of deep digging here to get some momentum back after that sign of day in this process.
I mean, that's some great points.
He is brilliant. You're exactly right. I mean, I don't have anything to say. Well done. Bravo. That's why everybody should send their kids, especially if they're good players, to White Knoll High School. White Knoll High School.
We're in the growing community of Red Bank, South Carolina. We got a Chipotle. We got a Whataburger. We got a Lowe's Foods, a Publix, a Chick-fil-A. You cannot beat living here. We got very affordable starter homes for a lot of people. We got great second homes for your families. And we have one of the top traditional public schools in the state of South Carolina, and the best principal in Nicholas Pearson.
And there's plenty of property. If you want to just buy that and build a barn dough, you can just send your kids right down the street too. So
we follow all the rules at White Knoll. We make sure everybody else does as well.
That's a great, you know, unlike some of these other guys we know, you know, but we won't mention any names. No, I'm just kidding. They're all, all the guys I know follow the rules. The guys I don't, they all break them.
JB, tell us a little bit about, do we have the holiday story still going on?
No, it's all okay. Closed up now. I just wanted to pop. I didn't even want to pop in. You wanted me to pop in, so I'm popping in. I've got to talk for 2 hours. I didn't have a voice yesterday morning, but we'll see how long it lasts today. But I hate that Justin can't be here for state championship weekend. You know, Steve, you and him did such an amazing job. I mean, I'll say this because I'm the boss, and so, you know, I can say it. But I pay attention to everything else out there. I have a lot of respect for everybody that covers high school athletics. There ain't a show like this one though, because y'all mention every single game, every single week. Shane, I know you picked up on that. You know, you go back to week one, and the smallest school in the state and the smallest town in the state is being mentioned in this program. Just like everybody wants to talk about Lexington and Somerville and White Knoll and Berkeley and whoever else. And then they're mentioning, you know, Batesburg, Leesville. Like, bravo to you guys and what y'all have done all year in covering football. And I'm just glad that it's going to be an annual thing covering every sport and every corner. And there's a reason why the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association chose this show to partner with to promote the players and the coaches and the entire state and its athletics platform. So bravo. And I'm really fired up to watch the rest of this thing too, and to hear the coaches. That's going to be
Yes.
Hey, Shane, Steve, I'm going to hear you talk enough. I want to ask Shane a question real quick here. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that one day, whenever you're done with the ADing stuff and coaching football and all that crap, you probably need to get into media. You're not bad at it, but,
thanks.
You know, I'm just saying that to make you feel good.
It did. Thank you.
But with all the games going on this weekend, I think the one that, and I'm saying this respectively, and I know Coach Hannah's coming up, so I hope he understands I'm not being a jerk here, but I think the one that it's like, oh, yeah, they're playing two, is the 2A championship between Hampton County and Strom Thurmond. All these other names are big names. You see them a lot in the state championship games or close to it. But Hampton County and Strom Thurmond's like, oh, yeah, they're playing this weekend. So I'm fired up for these guys and their fans to get out there and play ball tomorrow.
And it might be one of the most competitive games.
Yeah.
You know, Hampton County, when we talked to Coach Hannah, we're going to talk to him about how, you know, that school's not old. He had to combine, he had to be the athletic director and head football coach to combine two communities that were rivals for hundreds of years and turn them into one cohesive program. And in 3 or 4 years, he has taken them, and they're going to play for a state championship tomorrow against one of the traditional powers in our middle-level school classes here in Strom Thurmond.
Wow. So can you ask him about that in just a second? I would love to hear his response on how he did that. Yeah. Yeah.
Take Wade Hampton High School, to take Estill High School, the closest Walmart, the closest anything to do is Walterboro. Those two towns have gone at it forever. I'm sure, you know, there was a political machine he had to fight through, and he has not only brought them together, he's found success, which is something you don't see every day when you see these schools combined. So, and also a quick plug for Jamie. Jamie, in his radio shows for the last decade, he's always covered high school football. So when he recognizes a good platform and what Steve and Justin have done with this, and that's why he, you know, he's invested in it and recognizes how good it is for our state and the children and the adults in South Carolina.
Well, it's about them. You know that. I appreciate you saying that, but being a former high school athlete in this state, they deserve people to pay attention to them, all the sports. And that's what Steve's going to do. And Justin did so well. And obviously Shane, you as an AD, you know damn well, when you walk into the building, it's not all about football. Like, you got to deal with everybody else. But I think you brought up a great point. I'm going to jump off here in just a second, but I remember when Bob Hayes was our AD and our head football coach at Wando. And I loved Coach Hayes so much. He was such a stern, strong man of few words. And I always wondered, like, how does this guy come in every day and manage to, especially in the fall, you know, well, hell, in the spring too, during practice, but like definitely in the fall when you're worried about getting your team prepared, but then you're also worried about managing the rest of the athletics department and the kids and the parents and the coaches. And having to answer to the principal, you know, God bless Miss Beckham, who's passed on, you know, and so how do you do both of those? But then how do you do that with two programs that were like, I don't want anything to do with it. You're going to put us under the same roof. You got to be kidding me.
Yep.
That's crazy. So
and hopefully he'll give us some good insight on that story, because I think that's an important part of the narrative for tomorrow's game. I imagine you'll see the entire county of Hampton County show up to Orangeburg to support the Hurricanes.
Well, shout out to my friend Alex Jones, who does an amazing job covering the University of South Carolina for the Big Spur. I call him the pride of Hampton County because he is from Hampton County. Good luck to Belton Honey of Path and Oceanside and Lamar and Bamberg Earhart. Talking about towns where everybody will be there. Those are another couple.
Home game for Bamberg, too.
It's a home game for Bamberg. Good luck to South Point and South Lawrence and Coach Marlowe and Strom Thurmond and Hampton County. Dutch Fork and Somerville, obviously a couple of programs very familiar with this stage, as we know. Good luck to them. And good luck to Irmo. And good luck to my man, Paige Wofford.
That's right.
From Northwestern. Hear the mullet, baby. The noble rabbit lives. He lives.
He coached at Wando when you were going to school there, right?
He was our pitching coach, too, my junior year.
That's right. That's
He was the worst pitching coach in the history of high school baseball. But he kept everybody laughing all the time, and he threw terrible BP. But to this day, he's a dear friend, and I love him. And I hate to say this to Irmo, because I love the town of Irmo, but I'm pulling for Northwestern because I love Paige Wofford, and the mullet and the noble rabbit. The noble rabbit's an inside joke, but if he's watching, he'll know what I'm saying. Obviously, so
you're gonna announce an OC for the Gamecocks today.
I can't do that because I don't know who it is. So
I was gonna say, text me off there.
I think we have a feel for it, but feel doesn't get you anything. It's like horseshoes, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So
well, the Gamecocks got some great news yesterday. Dutch Forks,
Julian Walker,
thank you, man. I didn't think we were going to get them. I'm a huge Gamecock fan, as y'all both know. But great job by Shane Beamer and his staff getting that turned over to the good guys and hit refresh on the Big Spur. So you know who the next OC is going to be. I'm doing that.
Well, and I know one thing, Julian will come into school physically ready to play, because his father's on the strength coach. He's a strength coach. So I think he'll be fine. Hey, Steve, thanks for everything you do, brother. You're doing a wonderful job. Fired up to watch the rest of this show. And Shane, you know I love you and I miss you. Thanks for what you do for you know, all the kids and the parents and the folks at White Knoll and what you've done at high schools all across the state. You're one of the best. Glad to call you a friend. And y'all have a great next 45 minutes or so.
Appreciate you, bud.
See you guys.
See ya. Well, Coach, we got Rob Hanna. He's joining us now. And I'm going to let you kind of start the interview. Coach Hanna, I have to really make sure I'm reading your name very carefully because otherwise I might accidentally say Bob Hanna. The old Irmo coach. But anyways, Shane, lead us off with the first question for Hampton County's head football coach.
What's up, guys? Glad to be on today.
What's up, Rob? Rob and I go back a long time. So I'm really glad that we're on here together. Rob, first off, congratulations getting there, man. Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
First question I have, you know, we've talked about this in private before, but I think everybody needs to hear the story. You took two rival programs for hundreds of years and you combined them and you've had nothing but success. And then is this year three or year four?
Year three. Yeah.
This is year three and you're going to the state championship game. Walk us through that journey.
Yeah. So we knew we merged as a district in 22. We knew the merge of the school was coming in 23 and, I was fortunate enough early in 22, they named me athletic director of the new high school, merged school. And then after the football season of 22, I guess that January, they named me the football coach. And I had a superintendent that was super supportive. The community did not want the merge to happen. Estill wanted to keep Estill. Hampton wanted to keep Hampton. They didn't see the sense of it. And the good thing is we have a brand new school being built right now. We'll be in it next year. That is the product of this merge, which is what our kids need. You know, we're at the old Wade Hampton building now. And like I said, old, it's ancient. I had a superintendent. It's been great. It's been a great merge. I had a superintendent that supported my vision and what he let me do. He let me bust 20 Estill football players, kids that were potential football players, the spring semester of 23 for our football weight class. And so day one, I got those kids on campus and threw it all the way at Hampton gear. I'd already ordered Hampton County strength gear and we put it on and I closed the door and my strength coach and I were in there and I had a talk. I said, we had the potential to have a state championship team in this room, but outside these four walls, all you're going to be told is it won't work. We shouldn't be together. You're from Estill, they're from Hampton. Don't trust them. You got to believe in the process. And we had 48 guys in that class that went to work and had a great spring. We had our spring game. I had a parent meeting. I had the exact same speech I gave to the parents. And I felt like I was at church. I was getting a lot of amens. We had a phenomenal summer. We had a couple guys that didn't get on the boat. They decided not to get involved in spring ball and come in summer. And they showed up the first day of school and thought they're going to be on the football team. And I said, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that around here. You know, you got to invest. You can play JV, but you're not going to be on varsity. And we had a phenomenal first year. You know, we went to the lower state championship game. We were up on Oceanside that year, going into the fourth quarter and just had a bad 5 minutes of football where it kind of spiraled out of control on us. I think we went from being up 7 to down 21 in like 13 plays. It just, what could have went wrong, went wrong. It was a tough night, but that game really defined who we were as a program. We had a program that believed we could be successful. Had a great offseason going into our second year. Had a great year last year. Got ranked number one in the state, first time ever. And I say ever. Hampton had never been ranked number one before. So it was a big year. Unfortunately, we had some injuries to Singletary and another kid, our outside linebacker, first round. And we lost to Manning last year in double overtime. And that set up this year. We had a great group of skill guys coming back. We didn't lose many. We lost 11 seniors, but only four that played from last year's team. We did lose some guys in the transfer portal, but we had a phenomenal offseason that went right into this year. And we've had a great year, you know, and in Hampton County, that first year, you could see by about week four or five when we started 5-0, you could hear the rumblings in the crowd. Hey, maybe this merge will work. And we went from there to a phenomenal basketball season, to a phenomenal track season. That first year we had two lower state champions, basketball and football lost in the lower state championship. We had seven region championships. So athletically, it was good for the school and the community. And this year, the community has rallied around the team again. And that's my proudest thing of what this team has done and what this football program has done in 3 years is we brought in the community of Hampton and Estill closer. And I think you're just going to see it continue to get closer as we get a new building.
You know, and if you're a superintendent or a school leader or a community member that's very heavily involved in your school. The story you just heard about a coach having a vision and that's school leadership, that superintendent supporting that and bussing kids over and making it work. If you want to win big, that's what you have to do. You got to support your coaches. You got to support a coach like Coach Hannah, and he will get the job done. I believe in that. Thank you for doing that, Coach Hannah.
Coach, this is why I love, you know, 2A football. It brings communities together. You know, there's not too many distractions. You know, it's still tight knit. And that's such a special story. Now, of course, Coach, you're not a stranger to the state championship game. You were on the staff with Coach Dr. Jerry Brown under the previous high school Wade Hampton. And so you do have experience getting to this point. What have you tried to do to prepare your kids to play in this game tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't have experience. So Wade Hampton had made in 81, Wade Hampton made the state championship, had never made it past the second round after that until 18 when Jerry Brown came. We went to lower state that year and lost to Dillon. We had them right down to the wire, 40 seconds, ran the ball down to the 8-yard line and had a penalty to bring it back to the 50. And then Dillon went on to win the state championship that year, I believe. And then, you know, 2 years ago in 23, we made lower state again in this year. So this is our first time since 1981 that a team from Hampton has gone to the state championship. I've been preparing for this. I feel like I've ran a state championship caliber program for my 5 years as a head coach. Yeah. I learned how to do that from Jerry Brown, working for him for 4 years. He really changed the culture of football around here. Everyone, when he left, he said, "Did he leave you a good team?" I said, "No, he didn't. We were 2-4 COVID year." I said, "But he left me a great culture that I can build upon, influence my kind of vision into it." And we've kind of gone with that. And we're a hardworking staff, hardworking team. We deserve all the glory we get because the kids deserve, they believe in the process. You know, it's not like we have a lot of talent on our team, but they don't just think they're going to show up and win. They know they got to work hard. But the mentality has changed from, I'll say 10 years ago when I was an assistant coach, we went into a lot of big games hoping to win. And now for the last 5 years, I can't tell you a game that we didn't go into that we didn't believe we should have won. And that's huge. When your kids line up on the field believing that they are the better team they're going to win, that's when championship culture is built and you have your success like we've had the last couple of years. I think we've won 31 football games in 3 years now as Hampton County, so that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's really good. And Coach, the Hurricanes are in Orangeburg. We can't wait to see y'all compete against the Rebels tomorrow at 4 o'clock. One last question for you before we let you go. We know your schedule is jam-packed getting ready for tomorrow. But what was the hardest thing for your team? What was the perseverance moment that kind of transpired this season to get your kids to really keep believing? Like, what are you most proud of this team getting to Orangeburg?
So great off season, a lot of expectations going into the season. We knew we had to stay healthy. We didn't have a whole lot of depth to start the year. And, you know, when you schedule Colleton, Silver Bluff, Bluffton, Hilton Head, Christchurch, non-region, you know, all schools that are bigger than us, you believe you're going to win all those, but you're like, you know, the war of attrition could beat us up. We came out week zero against Colleton and just played like world beaters and blew them out, blew out AF, easily handled Silver Bluff. And then we got to the tough part of our schedule. Bluffton, we laid an egg on offense. We did not play well. It was not a good coaching game, not a good player game. I think we had 5 turnovers. Defense played tough until the fourth quarter, and then those two D1 receivers kind of just broke it open on us. And we had 3 injuries, and then we went into Hilton Head, and opening kickoff, we fumbled for a touchdown, then we throw a pick 6, and then we settled in and had a 2-hour weather delay. We're up on the game, and the weather delay just came out flat after 2-hour delay. And then we went up to Christchurch, you know, a long trip, game that we had circled, we wanted to play. You know, Quinn asked if I wanted out of the game last summer. I said, no, we want to come play good teams. And we lost. We lost a tough one by 5 points right at the end. And I sat with the team in the middle of the field, and I wasn't almost in tears, but I was a little emotional. And I said, I worked too damn hard, and so do you, to lose. That's the first time in my life I've lost 3 games in a row. And I said, I promise you this, we're not going to lose again. And that was the turning moment right there. The team refocused where they didn't just expect to win off of talent. They started doing the little things right again. And we believe in that. I don't want to say we got comfortable, but we got ranked number one after the third week. I hate it. I text a couple media guys that don't rank us number one, but they did. And then we lose three in a row. But that moment, and then players, they really losing three games in a row, they realized that, hey, we don't want to let the season get wasted. We got to do what coach is saying. And film study, we require year round. Our kids have to watch an hour of film a week during the season, hour and a half during region, 2 hours during playoffs. We very rarely have a kid miss that. You know, we track it every day. It's on an Excel spreadsheet and it hangs in the weight room. First thing they do when they come through the weight room, they make sure that their numbers over their minutes for the day. And I just think that preparation matched with the work that the staff puts in has been, you know, I don't want to say unstoppable, but we've eight games in a row that we, and back in 2A competition, two helps, eight games in a row that we have won playing our style of ball where we could relax a little bit in the fourth quarter, if you know what I mean, and get some kids in to get experience. But this week's going to be different. Strom's very good. So just hoping we can find a way to come out on top.
Thanks for joining us, coach. Good luck tomorrow. Can't wait to see y'all compete out there for that trophy.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on, guys. Take care.
Good luck, Rob.
Thanks. Coach, that was awesome. I think we're going to need to go to a quick break, and then on the other side, we're going to have head coach Andrew Webb from Strom Thurmond join us. I don't see him in there yet, so hopefully he'll pop in soon. But, coach, we got a lot more to cover as we finish out this championship preview before tonight. Today at 12 o'clock, our first game starts, BHP versus Oceanside. So we'll start talking about those games right after the break.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Welcome back to the Four Quarter Friday Show.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics.
We're just going to turn that off because that cut me off right there. We got to move on, and we got Coach Webb in the studio. Shane, any final thoughts on the Strom Thurmond and Hampton County game before we bring Coach Webb on to talk about his team specifically?
I think you're going to see, you know, the physical prowess of Hampton County and that community united versus all the great things I've seen Strom Thurmond do on film the last few years. Their tempo, just how they use formations to get their best players the ball. I'm sure Coach Webb's going to talk a lot about that right here.
Yep. Coach Webb, welcome to the Four Quarter Friday Show. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How y'all?
Doing good. Coach, it's been a long year. Y'all are in Orangeburg. Y'all got a chance to win a state championship for the first time in, I believe, 20 years. How's the week of practice gone? Tell us a little bit kind of what's the week been like getting ready for this game. I know a lot's put on you as a head coach and your staff in a weekend like this.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, we've had a really good week of preparation. Guys have been focused and locked in, and you know, we're really thankful for the opportunity to be able to play for a championship. You know, our guys have worked hard. Our community supports us. And, you know, to be able to experience a week like this is a lot of fun. And you just got to say thank you to the big man upstairs for giving us the opportunity to be here.
You know, Coach Webb, you know, you're the head football coach of Strom Thurmond. That comes with high expectations. A lot of great men before you sat in that chair. How do you handle those expectations and make sure your players understand that they got to live up to who came before them, but also keep them focused on the game?
Well, it's, you know, we talk about that all the time. You know, Strom Thurmond football is special because of all the people that came before us. And it's our job to uphold the standard, the Strom Thurmond standard of carrying yourself and playing with pride, class, courage, and a will to win. And that's the answer that we have to be – that's the question that we have to be able to answer, you know, each day in our preparation and the way that we play. Are we preparing, carrying ourselves as men, and playing to the standard of the people that came before? So we are very thankful to play somewhere that football is important.
Yes.
We're very thankful to have expectations on us as a program because that means you're somewhere where football is special. And, buddy, we are thankful for it. So you know, upholding that standard of pride, class, courage, and the will to win is important to us all as players and coaches.
Coach, there's not going to be a house that has any living bodies in it in Edgefield County, I imagine, when y'all play tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I've had an opportunity, and I've been blessed to be able to see y'all win some tight matchups this week, or excuse me, this year. Talk about how the schedule that y'all had with so many hard-fought victories. Y'all may have one of the hardest roads in the brackets across all classifications. And it kind of reminds me of when me and you were sitting down months ago and looking at kind of everybody and how they were playing. And me and you both said, I mean, this thing is up for the taking for the Rebels of Strom Thurmond. If y'all continue playing the way y'all do.
Yeah, we knew we had a shot with this group, you know, early on in the year, we played a tough schedule, you know, Silver Bluff, you know, we played North Augusta on the road. That's, you know, that's always a tough matchup, you know, playing North Augusta. We played Lincoln County and, you know, I'm not sure that everybody really knows how good Lincoln County football is, brother. Them boys can play, you know. They are really tough, physical. They're fast. Kelby Glaze is one of their senior running backs, just signed with UT Chattanooga. They're 13-0 playing in the Georgia semifinals tonight.
I recruited really a kid out of there years ago. Whew, they got players.
They can play. What a fun atmosphere that was to play in. But, you know, that prepared us for our conference. And in the conference, we go on the road to Batesburg and really kind of find a way to win one in overtime. We have to make a stop with no time left at home versus Saluda, a really good football team. You know, then in the playoffs, we Chesterfield, Liberty, Chester, a team that beat us last year. You know, really, really, really athletic, fast, and physical. And then just past week with Fairfield Central, you know, another team is really fast, physical, playing really well, had just went on the road and beat Clinton 42-7. So, we've had to strap up and go, buddy. We've had to strap up and go many times throughout the year, and we certainly expect to have to do the same thing tomorrow versus a good Hampton County team.
Coach, after you get your win, you need to head to Old McDonald Fish Camp. I'm inspired again now that you came on here. That place is delicious. I went there one time, and there was Strom Thurmond stuff everywhere, so I imagine I'll be closed tomorrow as they take the trip to Orangeburg to support y'all.
Yeah, that's good, brother. That's good eating right there, brother.
Yeah, it is.
Coach, as you've been watching film all this week, what are y'all going to have to do to beat this Hampton County team on Saturday?
Well, number one, we better get 11 hats to the football on defense. You know, the Hampton County Hurricanes can go, buddy. They can run. They are fast. And their offensive line does a really good job up front. You know, I know that Singletary gets a lot of credit, and he deserves it all. Let me be clear. He deserves it. He is so special. You know, but he's got an offensive line in front of him that's getting after it too. And the quarterback does a really good job with his legs, keeping Giannis in the passing game. Their receivers can go catch. Their receivers are involved in the run game. So, you know, every time they snap it, I really mean this, every time they snap it, somebody's got a chance to pop one. Every time they snap it. So I think everything for us is going to start with defense. You know, we got to read our keys. We got to fit our gaps. We got to get 11 people to the ball. And we've got to tackle, you know, as a team. We can't rely on one person to make a tackle. We got to be there to play physical football. You know, offensively, controlling the football has been something that we've done fairly well over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we're going to have a big challenge ahead of us tomorrow with their defense, because their defense is also fast and physical. But that's what a state championship game is supposed to be. You know, two good teams that play well. Coach Hannah does a great job. They're well coached. And we're going to have to try to do our best to keep their offense off of the field when we have the ball on offense.
Coach, thank you for joining us. We know you're swamped today, getting ready for tomorrow. Appreciate you taking out the time to join us, man. Good luck on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you.
Man. Coach, we got four more games to hit. And before we go to our last break, let's go ahead and bring it to you. BHP and Oceanside, first game today.
Oh, man.
What do you see? What are you seeing?
Man, let me tell you. That BHP crew, they have this game for 365 days. You know, last year they played Oceanside State Championship and lost 35-17. You know, Oceanside, they beat Dutch Fork this year, so they have a great team, obviously. They got great players. They got a kid committed to Austin Peay. They got a signee at App State, a signee at Wofford. Aiden Manavian, the quarterback, he's already a two-time state champ, going for his third in a row. He's only a junior. He's got Division I offers, FBS offers everywhere. You know, but BHP, they're motivated, right? They've beaten Westside this year. They beat them 42-6. You know, Russell Blackston, he's got 50 wins over the last 4 years. He's a great football coach. He's a Newberry alum, which shout out to Newberry College, playing for a regional final this week. But he's got great players too. He's got two guys going to North-South game, and they just seem like a cohesive unit that is firing on all cylinders. And I'm sure that they've had that Oceanside Landshark logo up in their weight room for the last year to try to get back to this moment and play this football game.
So you hit on Oceanside's great quarterback. The weather is going to be a factor today. Does that slow Oceanside down at all, in your opinion?
The weather's always negative. Weather is always a factor for if you're trying to throw the ball around, do different things. But I watched Oceanside this year. We had a bye week, so we went to Somerville to see some old friends. I used to be the head coach, Asher Ridge, and ironically, Asher Ridge and Oceanside were playing on TV. So at the party, I wanted to watch football. I wanted to watch my old players go against Brent LePratt, who's a friend of mine, and see that battle. And, man, they put extra tight ends on the field. They ran the ball, got physical. They threw the ball to that Terrence Johnson when they needed to. So I know Coach LePratt, who I've coached against many a times, he will have a great game plan. He will be ready. He knows and understands this weather. And, you know, they're in Mount Pleasant, so they get weather all the time. I'm sure they practice in it, practice on slick turf. That's what it'll be today in Orangeburg. And now they'll be prepared for that. They'll have an answer for the weather.
It's all about holding on to the football this weekend with all this weather coming. You just never know. I mean, everybody's got to have to hold on to that ball, and you know you're a physical team if you can beat Dutch Fort. So
yeah,
it'll be
and take Irmo to the wire.
Yep, exactly. Phil, I think we're going to take this to a break, and then we're going to hit up the Lamar and Bamberg Earhart game. Plays today at 4:00. Can't wait to get into that one. Right on.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, in structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch up? Visit recoatrevolution.com in South Carolina today. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chiefs Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Welcome back to the Four Quarter Friday show. Coach Fidler joins us as a special co-host today as we start to talk about the rest of these games, Coach. We're going to zoom through a few of these, unfortunately, because a lot of these games, I mean, we could talk all day about it. But let's go ahead and talk about Lamar versus Bamberg Earhart, something that I'm really excited to see today at 4 o'clock. Lamar is not a stranger to this game. The kids in Lamar grow up expecting to win state championships. Bamberg is a great program as well. This is going to be their 10th title game, and they're trying to win their first state championship in Bamberg since 1990. The last time Bamberg was in this game was 2021. Coach, Bamberg's averaging 564 yards of offense per game. They have an offensive attack that hasn't been probably talked about as much as their passing attack because they're so dynamic. But they have over 4,000 yards rushing on the year. So, you know, they can do both. They're balanced. Yeah, and so I'm having a hard time picking against who I've penciled in as the champion through a bracket challenge. We have about 45 contestants doing that. But I have a hard time picking against Bamberg in this game.
Well, Bamberg, they've always been known for running the football, and they do it very well. You know, this is the mentality there, right? They got a great wrestling program, too. All that transitions to the style of football they want to play. And Coach Crosby, him and I have interacted a lot. Got to coach his son last year in a North-South game. He's doing a phenomenal job. He's got great assistants built up. And Lamar's, you know, new head coach this year, Tyler Boyd, son of J.R. Boyd, who longtime head coach, won a bunch of state championships with Lamar. You know, it doesn't matter who the coach is at Lamar, right? They're gonna be really successful, and they're going to play for a state championship. And 2 years ago, I got to coach against Lamar. Luckily, we came out on top. But just looking across, I mean, giant kids, fast. Like, I mean, I know Bamberg's the same way. I mean, it's going to be one of the best games of the weekend, just athlete-wise and just, you know, seeing kids playing both ways, that true old-school high school football, you know, both towns should empty out, like you've been saying all day, to get there. It's a kind of a home game for Bamberg. I think this one should have a lot of eyes on it because for those of you that yearn for the old days of football, this is the – of all the games, this is probably the one that you'd want to watch the most.
Yeah, just something to note. I mean, 1A ball, we kind of all know about it. But if you know high school football, 1A ball, you're going to have players, great players, playing on both sides of the ball. Yes. Which is really cool. It kind of reminds me of the way our grandparents grew up in smaller towns. Population sizes weren't as big, especially here in South Carolina. Lamar's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys playing both ways. Bamberg's got, let's see, 5 as well. So you're going to see dudes who just are football players on this field trying to win a state championship. And Tyler Boyd, you mentioned, is going to try to win a state championship. I believe this is his first year as a head coach.
He was a head coach at Williamsburg Academy last 2 years and had success.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, actually. But he's looking for a first state championship in Lamar, and would be a great story to have a father-son combination of winning a state championship at the same school. And, of course, we already mentioned Brent LaPrade, son of Coach LaPrade at Fort Dorchester for so long. So that would be really neat to see, you know, two two father-son combinations with state championships at the end of this weekend, if that does come to pass. Just one quick note. Lamar is playing really – they're hot, okay? Lamar's got 18 interceptions and has forced 13 fumbles on the year. Linebacker Mont Williams has had 37 He's got 12 of their 37 sacks on the year. And so Bamberg's going to have to deal with him for sure in that defense at Lamar. Bamberg, Brian McMillan, the quarterback, 4,600 yards total, 66 touchdowns, 3,800 of that, and 45 touchdowns passing with just five interceptions. This matchup is going to be special. Coach, any last words on this before we move on to the next game?
No, this sounds – you put some stats off there. I thought we were playing a video game with those numbers. I mean, that just shows the potency of both these football teams this year. And, again, that should be a lot of fun. I remember Lamar playing a game in the state championship maybe 8 years ago. The final was like 72-50 or something like that. So, you know that the fireworks are going to be out for that one.
That's right. Coach, what do you see? 7:30 tonight, Northwestern Irmo. You're very familiar with Irmo. Everybody knows about Northwestern football City USA. How do you see this one shaping out?
Rematch of last year, right? Northwestern kicked the field goal there to end the win. But, you know, Irmo, this is just like we talked about BHP earlier. They've had this game marked, right? And Irmo's got the D-line to make – caused a lot of problems for Northwestern and Northwestern's passing attack, and the weather is going to help with that. But Coach Paige Wofford, as we've talked about, he doesn't run this offense thinking it'll never rain, right? He doesn't run this offense thinking it'll never be cold. So there will be a plan. They will be able to execute and be successful. They just have to change what they normally do, right? But all the big time recruits Irmo has, hopefully number 76 for them. He's been out in the playoffs. Bryson Moore, I believe he's signing with Charleston Southern. He's playing a North-South game. If he comes back, that will help Irmo up front. And then, you know, Northwestern, they got a kid going to Texas A&M who's a Mr. Football finalist, a Tamarian Watt kid. They got two other kids in the Shrine Bowl, the receiver and the linebacker. They got another kid playing in the North-South who's going to Charleston Southern. So you got two Charleston Southern OLs going against each other. I mean, talent, big-time players, big-time coaches, Coach Brand. I mean, he had so much success in North Carolina. Now he's obviously having it at Irmo and Paige Wofford, obviously what he's done at Northwestern. And, you know, this is what a perfect primetime matchup on Friday night of state championship weekend.
Coach, real quick before we move on to the next game, you know, I'm really curious, does Irmo have the firepower on offense to win against the Northwestern defense?
Yes. I mean, we played them twice, and Coach Pelham did such a great job of probably holding them to their least totals all year outside of Dutch Fork, point-wise. And, I mean, that went with a lot of strain and sleepless nights for the man. They got so many guys. They got guys on the bench they could bring in that are faster than your guys. So you've got to have a great plan on defense, and you cannot – afford errors. You can't miss tackles. Sometimes we miss tackles and it calls big plays for them, right? You can't miss your assignment. If your job is the C gap, you got to do the C gap. You can't miss assignments. You can't miss tackles. You got to play fundamental football to have a chance to beat Irmo.
You see a low scoring game tonight?
No, probably something like last year. I mean, depending on the weather, if it's pouring rain, sideways wind, all that, you know, that could change it. But just off the cuff, I think it'd be a game like last year, talking high 20s, low 30s, and might be one of those who has the ball last deals or you know, obviously, you know, we talk about turnovers all day. Obviously, you know, the turnover battle will come into effect. But I think the matchup to watch is Northwestern's OL versus Irmo's DL and how that goes.
Absolutely. Well, I got my thermals on. I'll be there tonight. I'll be there all day tomorrow as well. I got a new rain jacket. I'm prepared. You know, I got gloves. I don't ever wear gloves. Who wears gloves in South Carolina, but this time of year, you know, so I'm ready. I'm ready for this game tonight, this weather.
Some coaches would say that to their wide receivers too. Who wears gloves in South Carolina?
That's right. Well, in the state championship, when it's a high of 49, and then when it gets to tonight and it's raining, you better be wearing dang gloves, right? if you want to hold on to that football and keep your hands warm.
Well, I'll say, you know, when it's raining and wet, sometimes them gloves are, you know, counterproductive. They won't stick as well. So, you know, it might be better to not, you know, put a towel on, get the little hand warmer deal and try to keep your hands dry as possible and just catch that football when it comes to you. You know, something else, too, about a state chance where we're getting this Dutch Fork game is this is a different schedule for the high school league this year. They've done two games on Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday at South Carolina State. So you've been able to have your normal warm-up on the field, you know, kind of slow it down. This is getting back to the old school where we're at Williams-Brice and you had to warm up somewhere else and come on the field and kind of play right away. I don't know how much of a factor that'll play, but I would say that that benefits some of the head coaches in our state that have been through those situations and how to prepare their team. And how to handle that transition from the warm-up space back to the field and how to, you know, make sure you keep your kids focused even though they're going to be a different environment from this moment to the next moment. So I think that is something that might come into play for some of our programs that are first-timers or didn't get to play in those Williams-Brice experiences.
And just for everybody to know, tickets are $20 per person, and that ticket will be good for all day. They can be purchased through GoFan. Expect some delays and some long lines getting into the stadium for security reasons.
Parking's tough, too.
Weather. Parking is tough, yeah. I'm leaving right after this to make sure we're getting out there.
And the games are all on TV. If you can't make it's better if you can make it. First off, when you pay that $20 ticket, the high school league gets their cut, but so do the programs. And that's supporting those kids and that's supporting those schools. You know, there's a lot. Six teams are going to be buying state championship rings. They need your support. But these games are on TV. If you're in the upstates on WMYA, My 40, if you're in the Midlands, watch Fox, Digital 57.2 or 1250. In Charleston, it's on My TV, Charleston, WCIV. And then if you're in the PD area, it's on CW21, which is also WWMB. So if you can't make it to Orangeburg for any of the games, tune in and support these great student athletes and coaches.
And also, for parking purposes, it's a $2 per car fee. The parking lot's open at 10 a.m. on both days, so it's going to be open here in about 5 minutes. And then there is restrooms available. No alcohol is allowed. So any of you crazy tailgaters, keep that stuff at home. But let's get in to the last one, all right? 5A Division I State Championship, Dutch Fork, Somerville. A rematch of last year. Somerville is coming in hot. Me and you were talking about this yesterday.
Oh, they're Coach. Hot. That Ashley Ridge loss motivated them boys.
Yeah, I'd say. What do you see, man? I mean, the Silver Foxes, they won last year 35-21. I would say Dutch Fork might not be as good offensively as they were last year. But tell you what, man, they're balanced. They don't make mistakes. They got a really good offensive line. They're looking to play. They're playing in their 10th straight championship game, Coach. And they're looking for their second four-peat in the last 9 seasons.
This is what they do. When you sign up to play football at Dutch Fork High School, you're signed up to play 15 games a year. You're signed up to play that first week of December in Orangeburg or wherever state championship is. So they are prepared. They are ready for this. And Somerville is their second straight appearance. And they lost in the lower state championship 2 years ago to the White Knoll Timberwolves. So they're ready for this as well. You know, they're motivated. They played better than a lot of people thought they would last year against Dutch Fork, especially when their quarterback, Jaden Cummings, went down early in the game. But that quarterback that came in, Cooper Kafina, he's back. And they also got Max Stafford, a kid from IMG, and was at Phillip Simmons before that. So they got talent. Jaden Kelly Murray, right? Javen Williams. They got Jacaden Pendergrass and Eli Presley on defense. They got so many great players, so much talent, but so does Dutch Fork, right? They got so many good DNs, right? They got the kid going to South Carolina. The other one's just as good. He's just smaller, right? You know, not as tall. Great linebackers. They're good in the secondary. They coach so well in defense, Scott Braswell. They just have so much talent, and they're just prepared for this moment. You know, Somerville, again, they've had this game circled. It's a rematch of last year. But, you know, Dutch Fork is just who they are. And Coach Knotts, this is what he is. It's he's the head coach. His son's the quarterback. I imagine this week has been absolutely locked in up there in Irmo.
Yeah, and everybody knows a little bit about the Dutch Fork defensive line. You got Julian Walker, 10 sacks, 21 tackles for a loss. Hunter Colgrove, Luciano Cesario, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, 6 sacks. Jaden Worth. who's going to be probably the next big-time D-line prospect out of Dutch Fork, 11 sacks. But don't write off the Somerville front on the defensive line. They got Malachi Washington, who's 6'3", 225. Dexter Chavis, 6'3", 325, I think, nose guard. And David Hall at 5'10", 310 pounds. They run a 3-4 defensive scheme. They're big and strong. They got experience. Then you have the linebackers for Somerville. And you already mentioned Javen Williams. He had 230 yards and 4 touchdowns against James Island last week. And so Dutch Fork's got their work cut out for him. And Max Stafford's a very smart quarterback, playing very well. And his receivers are something to be dealt with as well. They're explosive on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Teru Davis, I think, one of the other receivers. I mean, they just got they're like Irmo, right? They got players everywhere, and you got to figure out, all right, how are we going to defend all of this? You know, a lot of times when you go into a game plan for a week, you're like, all right, what are they the best at? Let's figure out how to stop that and make them do what they're not great at. Well, when you play Irmo or you play Somerville, you don't get that option. You got to figure out a way to stop it all.
If I had to guess, Dutch Fork's games, they've slowed games down this year. They're not trying to outscore you necessarily. They got off to a slow start last week. I mean, I think they went down 10-0 and then scored 30 unanswered points to beat Dorman. So I'm curious with the weather, just kind of the way their style of play is this season, very balanced. They're not in a rush on offense. They're going to do what they do. I kind of see a low scoring game tonight.
That's tomorrow night, right? They're tomorrow night's.
Tomorrow night.
And I haven't looked that far at the weather in advance, but that don't matter to Dutch Fork. They're going to be ready to go. Both these teams have turf practice fields, turf game fields, so they'll be ready for whatever weather hits that turf. I don't see the weather affecting either of their schemes. You know, Ian Rafferty at Somerville, give him his flowers. He has resurrected that program from what after Coach McKissick died, it was just in flux, right? They weren't bad. He still made a lower state championship, but it wasn't what it is now. And he's reinvigorated that community, reinvigorated that program. And now they're playing for their second second state championship game, hopefully to try and get one for them. But again, they're going against the machine. But maybe Coach Knotts, I think a lot of people in the coaching world would agree, possibly the greatest high school football coach in the history of high school football, if you look at the statistics and the data.
In America,
in the United States of America, I will stamp that.
Yep. Coach, we made it all through. We got every game covered, and now it's time for the Inside the Gamecocks and Jamie Bradford, Phil, and the rest of the guys for this great Friday. We'll see you in Orangeburg.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD. We've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us. All of South Carolina. We love talking ball. And we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.